This is CliffCentral.com.
Property, I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
In fact, I've got to say, Rick Ross has never been more right than he is today. We are definitely buying back the hood, because ahead of Heritage Day, we are talking properties in the township or in the hood, depending on what you obviously want to call it. I myself am from Midlands, Soweto, a proud Sowetan I am. And if you're wondering, if you haven't heard us before, where have you been? We are live and direct every Wednesday from 10 until 11 here on CliffCentral.com. My name is Lerato Shabalala. You're listening to Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala, only on CliffCentral.com. This podcast is brought to you by the one and only Rally Mampewulo, who is here with me in studio. Rally, how are you?
No, I'm good, Lord.
Are you good? I am excellent. I'm excited about today's topic for a variety of reasons. Like I said, first of all, because I am a Sowetan myself. And I think you are from a township as well.
Yeah, I'm also from Vuta, Davidton.
from Davidton. Let me tell you. So I spent the first 12 years of my life being raised by my grandparents in Midlands, Soweto.
Yeah.
And I'm an 80s baby, and I'm 37. Me and Riley are the same age, just in case you want to know, just in case you don't know. And when I was growing up in Midlands, there was one doctor that everybody went to, Dr. John Musenda, and he's late now.
Oh, okay.
And he was one of the most, if not the most popular doctor in all of Midlands, okay? And I'm not mentioning him for no reason, just apropos. The reason why I'm mentioning him is that last year, Pam Golding sold his property at $2.5 million, wow. The highest property that has ever been sold in Soweto, at his house in Rockville, in Moroka, in Soweto.
Wow.
And he not only was, you know, a celebrated GP, but he also was an art collector. His house was designed by two well-known architects in our country. I think it's Michael Sutton and David Walker. He commissioned them in 1979 to do his house, and his house was sold for $2.5 million, a record-breaking first for Soweto. And if you're asking, why is $2.5 million, does it seem so little? And Riley, we are going to go into property sales in the township. But the average, when a house is expensive in Soweto particularly, it's sort of between 700,000 and 1.5 million.
Yeah.
So this was unprecedented.
Yes.
And the house is 5 bedrooms, it's got a pool, it's gorgeous. And it made me kind of think, this is a sign of where township property is going. I mean, obviously, it being in Rockville, for people who don't know, closer to amenities like Jablani Mall, Maponya Mall, and Baragwanath Hospital. And when you look at it in that way, where it is, it's a central space.
Yes.
So I thought we could start by saying, just Riley, take us through why people should invest in properties in the township in particular. I know that real estate agents call them affordable property markets and not necessarily townships. So,
yes.
But in my mind, obviously, to make it clearer to the people.
Yeah. Well, basically, I mean, I think one of the main thing about investing back in the areas where most black people come from, being Soweto, Davidton, and those type of areas, number one, we've got a bit of a history. I mean, you all know that when you travel around the world, when you get into that red bus, you know, they tell you this building is built in 18.
Yes, the hop on, hop off bus, yes.
They tell you that the building was built in 1846.
Yep.
They've got a history. Now, some of our townships, like Davidton, is more than 100 years old. I'm not sure how old is Soweto.
Mm.
I can only speak to for my guys. You know? However, it definitely is probably older than Davidton. But
yep. The
point is, you've got that history. It's something that we can't throw it out, you know.
Mm.
So all of us know that black people were moved into those areas simply because of the laws of then during the apartheid. Mm. And there's still a little of a stigma in looking at those areas as areas where we're forced to stay there.
Mm.
But, you know, sometimes you end up living with what you have and make the best out of it. And I think that's what has happened. And there's a lot of history in places like Soweto. So that's one of the things where if you've got a property that has got a history, that also adds value into whatever investment portfolio that you're having.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. So, I mean, you say something so important there about the history of the place where you live. Now, one of the things that I found interesting was that 40% of residents of like Soweto, they actually want to stay in the townships. They don't want to move. Uh-huh. They actually want to stay there, which is important because the only way you can improve a place is by staying there and making it better. So I thought that maybe we could touch on the let's start with the elephant in the room, which is the prices. In predominantly black or affordable market spaces.
Yeah.
Why is it that they're low?
Well, I mean...
Lower, maybe. Let me put it that way.
So the key thing, as I've mentioned before, that in property, the main thing is location, location.
Mm.
So one of the reasons why the properties in areas like Soweto will be slightly more affordable is simply because before... we didn't have a lot of amenities.
Yes.
So now things have changed. You've got the Maponya Mall. If you go to a lot of other townships in the area, you've got the small convenient shopping retail centers and everything. So the key thing, and this is where you will see that even government, they're starting to create new neighborhoods now, which obviously the majority of the people that will be staying there will be black people. But what is happening in that case is that they're starting to make sure that within the area, you've got a hospital, you've got a church. So whatever you need should take you less than 10 minutes
to get there. Yes.
So those type of things add value because, you know, most people don't want to drive for long distances to go to a bank. So one of the reasons why the township were affordable before, and I'm saying this before because now... the amenities are coming through and you can start seeing when people are renovating. I mean, if you look at Diepkloof,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's a beautiful area there and the prices are crazy. You know,
I was always jealous of people who were from Diepkloof because when I moved from Midlands, by the way, when I was telling you guys about Dr. Musenda and his house, I will post it up on our Facebook page, which is Living It Up with Lerato Shabala, so you can see what the house actually looks like. But as a Sowetan, I was always envious of people who... we're from DK, you know, people like Kabelo Mabalane. There's so many people from Diepkloof, Greg Maloka, people who, and that neighborhood, as you say, is 5 minutes away from the M1. It's 10 minutes away from Baragwanath Hospital, the biggest hospital on the continent. So things like that, being easily accessible makes up for that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely it does make up for that. But I mean, we mustn't lie to ourselves now. The properties in Soweto and other areas are no longer affordable.
Yes.
So that's why I said used to be.
Yes.
So the amenities are there now. There's history. There's content. So definitely those are the areas that we should be looking at. But there's also opportunities because, as you're saying, you know, the majority of people are still feeling comfortable to stay in those areas. And what that means, it means that there'll definitely be more demand.
Yes.
I mean, I stayed closer to Tembisa. And one of the things that happened is that a lot of people that are working in the areas where you've got office parks, like in Johannesburg, Waterfall, and other areas, those people are looking for affordable accommodation.
Mm.
And our cities are not ready to accommodate affordable housing space, which we should all be working towards that. So as developers, one of the things that we're looking at is to make sure that when you build a big mall like Waterfall, Mall of Africa, there should also be affordable housing for people, for that manager that works at Woolworths, that, you know, they don't have to get into a taxi and drive 2-3 hours to go home. They should be able to be accommodated in the same area. But now with Soweto and those type of areas, there's opportunities for affordable housing.
Mm.
And that's another space for opportunities for investment. So let me give you a typical way is that people always ask, how do I get into real estate and invest in property in the township? One of the things that you could do is obviously look at land that might still be available, or you get 2 or 3 old 4-room houses and actually find a way that maybe you can actually even build things like rooms for affordable housing.
Yeah.
So there are families that are getting 20, 40,000 rand on a monthly basis by having the back rooms. The key thing is that they must formalize it in a way that they go and actually apply with the municipalities to make sure that those type of rooms are done properly and they can get an income. And when they get that income again from the rooms, they can be able to buy more land and more properties.
So what you're basically saying, and I think this is important for people to understand, is that when life hands you lemons, you make lemonade out of it, right?
Yes.
So we were, as black people, forcibly moved to townships. But now that we are here, and a lot of the people, one of the things that I saw, I think it was the CEO of FNB, who said that actually people miss the vibrancy of being in the township. I mean, as you know what it's like when you wake up on a Sunday morning, there's that guy playing chess. You know, somebody's cooking. There's a vibrancy about being in a township, whether it's Tembisa, Soshanguve, or Soweto, that allows you to feel that you're a part of the community. So we were talking about investment. So if you are thinking, who is this man talking? This is Rally Mam Pewula. You can go to Rally-Mam Pewula to find out more about him, .co.za, to find out more about him, as well as Rally Properties, the learnership. And next month, I think we will be talking to some learners from the learnership, but I don't want to get into that right now. And Rally is a fantastic man. You can, in fact, our first podcast at the beginning of September was with Rally, so you can go back and listen to that. All you have to do is go to cliffcentral.com and get more. So one of the areas, Rally, that seems to have grown quite exponentially since 2010, but after 2010 even more, is Dube, particularly because it's the one street in the world that has two Nobel Prize winners in Vilagazi Street, the one neighborhood that has that. And they don't only have that, but restaurants. And I think there is a case to be made for buying in areas like that. There's the Hector Peterson Memorial, which is up the road. It's also easily accessible. Should you, if you are thinking, because I've heard is that in that area there are a lot of international, like, expats who are buying property on that street, offering the residents a lot of money so they can Airbnb the places. So if you've had a couple of drinks at Sakumzi and you don't want to get into an Uber and go back, you can sleep at one of the guest houses and get an authentic township experience. And when I heard that, I had the worry of, oh my gosh, because the average price at the moment for a house in Soweto is 620,000 rand. Okay, and that's average, which is not really cheap if you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a two-bedroom townhouse in the West Rand in Joburg.
Yes, that's
and true. And you can get that at a house in the township. And I thought, oh, I worry about that, because I wonder if it doesn't mean that us people who are from the country will not be able to buy in areas like that when the prices go high.
Yeah, it's a general worry for a lot of people in South Africa. I mean, the same situation that what's happening in Dube is probably happening in Cape Town. So it depends how you see it. It can be a positive thing or a negative thing. So if you look at the prices in Dube, they're definitely different from the prices in Orlando. But I think what will probably happen is that over time, you're not going to be able to find any more properties that you can be able to buy in the area, and it will then extend to other sections of Soweto. So Soweto will end up being available to township as it is now already. As I mentioned to you before, that Soweto is worth a lot of billions, and most of them are definitely unbonded.
Yes.
And so there's opportunities for growth. So I think having to have a real estate values going high in an area is not necessarily a negative thing. But we got to think about it, because, you know, I was in Cape Town last week, and I said to a friend of mine, you know, maybe I should look at buying an apartment here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I cannot get anything for less than 20 million rand in the areas that I was looking at.
Yeah.
And the people that have bought earlier on, I'm sure they're happy with that. So it really depends, I mean, on how you value real estate and how you want to see it. But I'm sure the other side of the coin would have been that the properties are now worth nothing.
Mm.
So we'll probably have to choose the other side where the properties are growing.
Yeah. And when you say unbonded, because I wrote that down, it means that there isn't like a formalized, for people who don't understand the term, can you go into when you say it's worth billions, but they are unbonded? Yeah.
So we've touched this on this before, but the bottom line is that a lot of properties in the township, and it's quite interesting, have been there for years. So we mentioned that Soweto will definitely be way over 100 years old, blah, blah, blah. So what that typically means, it means that a lot of properties would have been paid off. So some of the properties were actually given by government then. Some of them didn't have a finance on them. So people are sitting with title deeds. So the opportunity there with township properties is that because of the time frame that they've been there and that they've been paid off, people should start looking at being creative and actually creating some kind of a lending capacity, either as family trust or in their individual capacity, to be able to go back to the bank and say, we've got a house here. We think the house is worth 600,000. We don't have money. Jabu doesn't work. So is my sister, doesn't work. But we've got this house. Is there a possibility that we can refinance the house that we're living in without us leaving the house? So if one of you guys are earning a salary, you then can be able to get a bond for 600,000. What that means, it means that the 600,000 become available as liquid cash for yourself. So you can do a couple of things there. You can reinvest in buying the Dube property and start doing a B&B there and starting to get an income. When you get that income, you then pay the bond on the house that you're staying in. So the key thing is that property is supposed to, most of the time, you're supposed to use it to leverage getting funding. It's the only way that you can be able to grow. So you can imagine, once you've done that and that you're busy paying your bond, you are then able to buy the next property and be able to continue with the same concept. So we mustn't undermine the billions that are sitting in places like Soweto and Tembisa.
Yes.
We must unlock that. I actually did an article about 2-3 years ago saying that Soweto is sitting on billions and we need to unlock that value so that we can be able to create jobs.
Yes.
And other things, because right now the money is sitting there. Trust me, most people in the areas that maybe you and I stay in now, what we call the northern suburbs, you hardly find properties that are not bonded. So most of them are bonded. So that's also a good debt. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad debt.
Yes.
Because you're using the money to work. So the current billions that are sitting in Soweto, I'll classify it as lazy money. Because it's money that is sitting, not working.
Lazy money. So how do we get that article? I mean, can we get it on your website?
In fact, it is on my website.
Okay.
www.dralimampeule.co.za, and it is posted there.
Ah, so you heard the man. You can go and read about how you unlock township billions that we are all sitting on.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things I also realized, Riley, about properties in the township is that apparently a lot of people don't get their houses evaluated. So they actually don't know how much their houses cost. And as you say, because it's been in the family business, I mean, in the family for however long, and, you know, mommy got it for however long, mama got it for however much, you know, in 1970, whatever. How important is it to have your house evaluated by an estate agent?
Yeah, so basically you get two types of evaluations. Well, three actually. One is that the municipality themselves normally do evaluation at a period, I think they do it every 3-4 years, to find out how much the value of your property is, so that they can be able to bill the rates and taxes accordingly to your, to the value of your property. The second part is that you can do one for the banks. So if you want to do the refinancing, then you need to get a professional evaluator that can do the evaluation for you, so that you can be able to know what is worth, what is the property is worth, so that when you go to apply for a bond, you know what you will be looking at. The third one is the one that is more of an informal one, where you get an estate agent to do the evaluation, so that if you ever want to sell the property, you can also know how much you can put on the market for.
So a lot of people sort of hesitant to contact an estate agent to do an evaluation because they think, oh, once I've called person X, then they're going to bother me and ask me, am I selling the house? What kind of conversations do you need to have with the estate agents in order to make them understand what your needs are at the time?
Yeah. So basically, you got to be honest with your broker and tell them that you just want the evaluation so that you can look at your different options that you have and that you're not on the market. But, you know, these days, there's a lot of technology. So there's also sites that you can actually go and look at what we call CMA, competitive market analysis of your area. So you can go on Google and say, I want to find out what is the value of properties in Soweto. And you'll get sites where you can actually log in and describe your property. And those sites will be able to tell you how much the estimated, I mean, the estimated price of how much the value of the value of your property in an area like that. So technology has come forward. So if you don't want to be bothered by a broker, you can try and use the technology.
And get more info.
And get more information,
So let's say, hypothetically speaking, you find out that your area is doing well. We have talked about this before, and you can go to previous podcasts that we've had with Riley. You can go to cliffcentral.com to get more insight from the man himself. But one of the things you mentioned was sort of over investing in the property.
Yes.
So now, so let's say I find out that my property is going to, the value around the neighborhood where I'm in is say 600,000. And I'm thinking, okay, I might want to invest in it because a lot of the problems that people face is that your house may be in a good area, but it's not a great house. And so a lot of people look at it and think, oh, I'm going to have to renovate it. So you decide you're going to renovate it yourself. Is there a way to figure out how much is over investing in a situation like that? So if you're sitting with a house in Rockville or with a house in Tembisa or Davidson or wherever, how much should you invest to take it up a notch, but not so high that nobody wants to buy it?
That's true. It's actually a good question, Lerato. So overcapitalizing on a property is it's a mistake that most people make.
Yeah.
But one of the key thing is that is applicable anyway. I mean, I've just renovated my house and you end up going emotional because you see that Italian tile and you think, I mean, your friend who does the interior decorative will tell you.
Yes.
So you end up going crazy. So again, real estate is it's an interesting business because you have to look at yourself to say, am I doing this for investment? Am I doing this for myself? I think you had a topic with your colleague who does interior decorating to say, how do you make your house look beautiful but still be able to say that your four-year-old can walk there with a glass of juice and you don't have to be telling them to move?
Yes, exactly.
You know, because then what's the use then of your home that your son can't walk and come and greet you while holding a glass of juice?
Yeah, because they're worried about spilling it on your precious floors.
So you do the same thing. So you look at areas and say, the point that we made earlier on to say, find out about what is the value of your property. Should you then extend, which is another topic on its own, to say, you know, in Soweto and those areas, you find that the houses that were given by government, it's a four-room house. Now you want to grow, you want to extend it, and you want to put three, four more rooms. Should you go all the way and make the house to be a 2.5 million rand from a 600,000 rand home? Again, depend on your own circumstances in that area. But I think the key thing is that when you add value, you got to look at the trend to say, is everybody doing closer to what I'm doing? Because I mean, I've seen houses in Dipsloot where it's like a three-story in the middle of a squatter camp.
Yeah.
You know, but again, maybe the guy has got a vision to say, this is what's going to be happening. Maybe he's leading the pack.
Yeah.
So it really depends on what you want to do. But it's very important that you don't ever overcapitalize on your property if you think you might want to exit.
Yes. It makes me think of something the editor of US Vogue, Anna Winter, said once, that if you are too early, then you miss the mark, and if you are too late, people don't catch on. So it's the balance of hitting things at the right time is not overshooting it. That's but true. Not underestimating it. It's a very 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 fine balance of knowing, should you be spending as you say, on those marble tiles and the granite tops, etc. Yeah. You know, that's what you should be thinking about. Last week, we had Dulux come in and talk to us about the color of the year, as well as how you should paint your house. And predominantly in townships, there is a feeling that the more colorful your house, you know, your house must stand out. Mm. And one of the things we got clearly, because yes, it is important for your house to have personality, mm. but it is that choose colors that are going to make it easy for people to want to buy your property. Mm. And I think there's a lot of people who come from townships who are realizing that you don't want to overdo it. You know, you want to stay within the limits of great colors, great neighborhoods, that kind of thing. You don't, as you say, you don't want to overcapitalize and then suddenly you can't sell your house.
But also, I think it's still important, as I mentioned earlier on, that as you travel around the world, one of the things that you see that people are proud of is the history of their building. So our four rooms in Soweto, it's good that we can renovate and make sure that we're more comfortable when we stay in those homes, but we must not lose the history.
Yes.
You know, so I know the history is not all great in South Africa, but never underestimate to say, well, this house is 100 years old.
Yes.
And it was built in 18, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So you're still within yourself doing all the renovation. Try and keep that so that when the red bus passes by as well, you can see the original house, how it used to look.
Exactly.
Like. Still very important. So we don't have to all go Tuscany.
Yeah.
We're not in Italy.
You know how everybody goes, has those Tuscan houses all over the job.
You know.
And so, it's so sad because you think, well, we are basically transplanting somebody's culture onto our own instead of valuing what we have.
Yeah, they come here, they want to look at that forum.
Yes.
You know, and then the next thing they see what they left at home in Italy. So we got to keep that and actually be aware that there's a history into what, you know, what's in our townships, homes and all of that. We got to be able to keep that as well.
We do have to be very proud of where we come from. I am talking to the man himself, Rali Mampeule. He's done previous podcasts with us. He actually is the man who makes sure that I'm here with you every Wednesday from 10 until 11 on cliffcentral.com. What Dr. Musendan actually did is that he bought three properties around. So he lived in Rockville, had an original house. He then brought our, when other people sold around him, he bought other houses around that neighborhood and then just simply made his house bigger. Is there a case to be made for speaking to your neighbors and saying, hey, listen, should you sell your house, please consider me first. So, you know, if you are thinking of extending as opposed to buying in another place, because the ridiculousness, as you say, and I'm being, I should be quite sensitive about this, but having a three-story house is not practical all the time, depending on which neighborhood you're in. But if you bought three properties and have rooms within those three properties that are around each other, seems to me like a better investment than trying to make a very big house in a tiny, tiny, tiny space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a confusing factor, but I think if you can be able to buy your neighbors, obviously the better. Mm. But what I've realized that in the township, most people are not selling their homes for various reasons. So one of the things that we haven't touched on is issues of culture.
Yes.
And as you said, it's quite sensitive and we got to find ways of saying, how do we handle such and how do we move around making sure that we can still maintain our culture but be able to work with it today.
Mm.
So let me give an example. There are people that actually have a house and maybe they're not even using the house anymore, but they feel that their ancestors used to stay there or they stay there and based on that, they're not going to sell. But you find that people are suffering, they haven't got jobs and all of that. So it's a difficult thing to be able to actually get properties in the township.
Mm.
It looks easy because we say it's affordable, but try today and go to Soweto and say you're looking for a four room to buy. I'm telling you, you'll be very surprised that you don't have much stock available.
Mm.
So if you can get stock and you can then be able to extend and be able to make your house bigger, the better.
Mm.
So without contradicting myself, one of the things that we also need to start looking at is that we need to start going up in terms of doing double stories.
Mm.
Because we're obviously very comfortable in South Africa because we've got a lot of land, but the population is growing. You can see with the traffic that we are having. So one of the things that we need to start coming to reality with is that we may need to go double story.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing that is happening even in areas like Ekurhuleni. Mm. So you'll see that the municipality is going the route where they are saying that we got to go double story because we are going to have problem with land.
Space, yeah, space.
So as time goes, we're going to have problem with land.
Yeah. I mean, I think you touch on a very important issue for us as South Africans, because it's in general, even if you are thinking of your grandmother gets old, and in certain cultures, you ship them to a retirement home and they get a nurse and somebody takes care of them. And culturally, we as black people, we want to say, no, ukhulu uzo, you know, uzo hlala nathi, they have to be with us in the house. We cannot
throw them out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's the same thing with properties, because you think of who lived there, your grandparents, and you just imagine them just being, and particularly because black people were not allowed to have land. Yeah. So the one piece of history that you have, people find it very difficult to let go of, because it's probably the one thing in the family that comes from, you know, the great grandmother or the great 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 grandmother. So there is a sense of emotional, and as you said, we are emotional about our houses. We are emotional about where we come from. Now, a lot of people are then going to say, right, yeah, but you know, when I call an insurance house and I ask them to insure me, they want to know which area I live in, the premiums are higher because I'm in a predominantly what is considered to be
high risk
yes, I was going to say dangerous, but high risk area. How do we address those things in real estate where people have this angst about insuring properties? And next week we'll have First National Bank with us talking home loans and how they, and I will ask them this directly of investing in properties in the township. But as somebody who's in real estate, I mean, how do you encourage people to buy into an area that people consider to be a high risk area?
So I think one of the things that has happened in Lerato is that you know, the trend is changing now, where we're starting to have black-owned banks, black-owned stock exchanges, and based on that, some of those shareholders will understand the market that they probably will be giving funding to. Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example. There's banks like now called VBS, Vendor Bank Society, who have obviously given the president a home loan on his Gandla house. But let's not go there.
No, we shan't go there.
But the point is,
yes,
they're the first bank to be able to give a house in a village, where most of the traditional banks were shying away from giving a home loan. So if you're from Limpopo in Venda, your parents have been working for the last 10, 15 years to build a house. Because you know how we do it in the town, in the homeland. So you buy the bricks, you wait for the builder to build. So after 10, 15 years, you've got a complete house. That house now is worth R1 million.
Mm.
And actually, one day you want to access funding. You go to the bank, they say, well, you haven't got a title deed. This is still a rural piece of land. So, but guys like VBS Bank have gone to those markets and say, well, we understand what this means. If we get a letter from a chief, that actually they've given you this piece of land and that the property is there, we'll be able to give you a home loan. And that's how they finance the Nkandla home, because it's in the village.
Wow.
So I think what will probably need to happen is that as time goes and things change, there's definitely has to be black-owned insurance companies. There must be black-owned home loans. And those people will understand the market, because I think it's quite unfair that you go to, I don't think it's unfair, but I mean, there's a thin line. So I'll go to Busy Corner and I'll get an SMS to say, you're not in a safe area.
Yeah.
Call us if you're okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So we do know that obviously if then you're staying next door to Busy Corner and you're asking for an insurance, your insurance is going to be very expensive.
Mm.
But I think they need to reevaluate this thing to see, is that still happening now? Because if you go to Dube, people go to Dube and they're actually safe.
Yeah.
To people that come from overseas who are tourists, and they spend the night there, they have a good time in Soweto. But when you come to an insurance, they might not be able to give you the price that you're looking at. So I think the insurance companies and the home loans need to go back and reevaluate and see, Hore, this corner is still the same as when we did this thing 20 years ago.
But I think it's so important what you're saying, Riley, because it goes to historical understanding.
Hmm.
One of the issues I think we have in corporate South Africa is people having a historical understanding of people. So when you are black, you understand the historical intricacies of living in a township. And yeah. That's why I love this idea that you're putting forward of a black-owned insurance company, because what it does, it says, we understand your life. Yeah. We get your life,
yeah.
And we will not penalize you for choosing to live in an area where you've always been all your life.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you know, most of us go on a Saturday. It's not a good thing. I actually read an article from this Vusi guy about black people making money and then every Saturday going to the township to show off their cars. But I mean, I do go to where I come from in Daveyton, and actually, I haven't been hijacked before, you know, in that
also
area.
I don't know so if it's accurate to say that it's to show off your car. I think for a lot of black guys in particular, it is a place of a sort of a communal sense of, guys, we made it out, but we want to encourage people.
Because
let me
well.
Tell you something, there is somebody, Riley, who knows you, who sees you, said, I went to school with that guy.
Yeah.
Or my brother went to school with that guy, and look at where he is. We need to go back to the places
role
where
modeling,
we come
yeah.
from to
yeah.
encourage people. So I'm not necessarily, I'm not disagreeing with him. Yes, we do have the people who drive at 20 kilometers an hour
yeah.
On Villa Gazi Street
yeah.
so we can see their Ferrari.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, people take their cars, people like you, take their cars to be washed on a Sunday or a Saturday and have Echisa Nyama at BusyCon just to be part of that sense of community and the vibrancy.
Yeah, no, it's true. So, but mainly coming back to real estate.
Sorry, I'm not yeah. too detour.
But I think it's quite exciting. I mean, the topic, township real estate, I think is an exciting topic, and definitely there's a lot of value that we must unlock.
Mm.
And there's a lot of changes that we need to make psychologically as well to be able to really capitalize on real estate.
Mm.
One of the reasons why you see politics and everybody talks about land. I mean, you and I, if you're sitting here and a politician says land first, it's quite difficult for us to really understand. But what they actually mean, they mean that's where the wealth is born.
Mm.
You see? Mm. So I still think that we must try and find ways to say, our forums, let's look after them, let's find a way to renovate them, let's find ways. And I'm really encouraging people to get good debt on their properties so that they can be able to unlock other opportunities.
Mm.
So the whole thinking about really unlocking the opportunities in the township is something that we must really look at in a very, very serious way. And that gets extended to things like the homelands.
Yes.
I mean, right, I know I touched on this earlier on, but if you go to Venda, you go to Mujaji, Limpopo, somewhere, people have built there massive houses that if you just look at a house could be worth 2 million rand and they don't have a title deed.
Mm.
So I think there's a lot of opportunities that will happen where we can create jobs as well, because people can start looking at a village and say, well, let's start establishing this village as a township, meaning that let's do town planning so that we've got roads and street lights and services. And based on that, we can then be able to move a village home into a township house, not just change the lifestyle, but when I say township, in terms of township establishment where the municipality and the banks can recognize to say, this is a neighborhood, and you can then be able to give a title deed. Because doing that process, it can create a lot of jobs for a lot of people.
And in fact, the municipality is quite important. You as a homeowner need to go back to your municipality and participate as a homeowner so that they are able to, as Riley says, to help your property be better. So when you were talking about, before we wrap up, when you were talking about the homelands, the Royal Bafokeng House was designed by a well-known architect, Makone Mukeka, and he's a a black guy from Lesotho, and he did a fantastic job on it. So once again, just going back to your point. Yeah. So lastly, before we wrap up, I want to tell you guys that Riley and I will be on the Gareth Cliff Show soon. Maybe next week, maybe the week after that. We are looking forward to it, aren't we? We're going to be talking property, yes. Riley. The man himself is going to be asking us questions on the Gareth Cliff Show. So we are very extremely excited to be on there. I will let you know when Riley and I will be on the show. So Riley, if somebody's listening and they thinking they want to invest in property in the township, what are the top three things you would tell them to consider?
Well, first of all, I'll say that look at areas like Dube, you know,
Diepkloof, yes.
But also start looking around. So that's the first one. The second one is to say start looking at land around the township that is between what we usually call the township and the suburbs.
Yes.
And find a way to be able to put it together so that it becomes a community. Because what we're trying to do now is to make sure that the person that works at Mall of Africa should be able to stay closer to where they're working.
Indeed.
So look at the land around the areas and the townships. And lastly is to say that look at the historic side of real estate in the township and actually capitalize on it by making sure that you can buy the actual old. I'm on the market if anyone wants to sell. I'm looking for a typical four-room that hasn't been touched.
So if you have a typical four-roomed house in the township that has not been touched, www.ralimampewila.co.za, get in touch with the man, let him know. We are back again next week, Wednesday, on cliffcentral.com from 10 until 11 every Wednesday. My name is Lerato Shabalala. We do this all the time. I want to say happy Heritage Day to everybody for Sunday, and invest in your properties. And we will see you next week as we buy back the hood. Thank you again so much, Riley.
Thank you.
Catch you next week, everybody.
Property, I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
This is CliffCentral.com.